Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I am so grateful and thankful for you who are listening tonight to have tuned in to the radio program, Mission from the Heart Radio. I just want to thank you for being so faithful to the program, but most of all, I am just so grateful for your faithfulness to the God that we serve, Yahweh God, Jehovah God. He is mighty. He is gracious. He has mercy for those that he loves. And I tell you, it has been a trying day for me today. But to God be the glory, and this joy that I have, the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. And I just pray and hope that you share those same feelings. We are having a little bit of a technical difficulty this evening. I have a guest co-host tonight. His name is Michael Crow, Pastor Michael Crow. And he will be with us tonight walking through Chapter 3 in our lesson, this series that we are going through the book of Judges. This series is Here Comes the Judge, and I tell you, it has been an awesome walk through these chapters, the study of the book of Judges. So if you could get your Bible prepared and ready tonight and some scratch paper and just be ready to take notes once we can get our technical problems and running. I tell you, it has been a challenge for tonight, but God is faithful. God is the God that we can serve and put all of our trust in, no matter the challenges, no matter the circumstance, no matter any pop-ups that may happen in our lives. And I tell you, when these pop-ups take place, it's to throw us off balance, but thank God for who he is. He is a God of balance. He is a God of refuge, and we can put all of our trust and faith in him. So just bear with me as we continue to work out these little technical flaws in the studio tonight with my co-host. But we'll continue to work through these flaws, but we're going to look at Chapter 3, and open your Bibles to Judges chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 31, which actually is the complete chapter, and we're going to look at some of the points that Pastor Crow shared with me early in the week as we were preparing for this series. And point one, I'm going to just go ahead and make mention of them so that when we do get connected in the studio, then you will already have the points made note. So point one, we're going to look at idolatry. And if you could make note of that, idolatry. And we're going to be looking at these verses 1 through 11 in Judges chapter 3. Point number 2 is initiative. So we're going to be looking at the act of taking the initiative. And we're going to be looking at that in verses 12 through 30. And then the last point we'll be looking at through this chapter is involvement. And we're going to look at that in verse 31. So first point being idolatry, second point being initiative, and third point being involvement. So I just want you to have those points ready and prepared. And let me give you a little thumbnail sketch of what we walked through on last Thursday in the intro of this particular book. What Pastor Crow brought out on last Thursday, him and I, we looked at certain things, and two in particular were the importance of obedience, and this is in chapters 1 and 2 of Judges. We looked at the importance of obedience, and we looked at human failure. And within that human failure, Pastor Crow showed us divine mercy, and he showed us deliverance by God, and he also shed light on the power of prayer and how the Israelites cried out to God. And that just runs all through the book of Judges, and how they relapse and how they cry out to God and how God looks upon the error of their ways, or their relapses, if you will, and he brings divine mercy, Israelites. And he does this by raising up a deliverer or a judge to bring them under his guidance, to bring them within his will. And as long as they stayed faithful and obedient to him, God, Jehovah, then the battles that were before them, the ways that were in the midst of them, he would cover them. He would provide for them. He would lead them. But as long as they relapsed back into wickedness by way of serving idol gods, serving other gods, and intermarrying with the other Canaanites and people that were there in that land, then God allowed them to be in captivity, to teach them and to also give them with what he wanted them to have. But somehow or another, the Israelites just kept going through relapse after relapse after relapse. So, again, just continue to bear with me in getting my guest host on in the studio today, this evening, and just having some challenges in trying to get him up and on the line. So, again, if you just go back and listen to Series 1 on the Internet, Here Comes the Judge, and familiarize yourself with some of the beautiful nuggets and points that Pastor Crow brought out in that series, and then it would bring you up to date in today's lesson that we're going to be looking at, and the points being idolatry, initiative, and involvement. And until I can get my co-host on the line or in the studio connected, then what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm just going to go ahead and take this bull by the horns, as they say, and we are going to move forward until I can get a connection technically in reaching Pastor Michael Crow, and then I can let him take the lead with this lesson. So let's look at idolatry, and let's look at the verses 1 through 11. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them through the out of the NIV, the translation, and we're just going to move slowly because I do not want you to miss the nuggets that are embedded in this book, in this text. So let's read through, and if you have your Bibles with you, just read through and follow with me chapter 3 in the book of Judges. And it reads this way. Now, I am in the NIV translation. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. Now, verse 2 is a very important nugget. And I just want to reread that. Verse 1 says, these are the nations the Lord left to test. Now, if you would, circle that word, to test, all those Israelites who had not experienced of the wars in Canaan. Now, if you back up to chapter 2, you will revisit the first series, then you will come to an understanding that a generation chapter 2, verse 10, I'll read that. It says, after the whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Now, this is another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. So, I think about some of this today. We have a generation that seems to not know who God is, or they do not want to come to know who God is. And so in verse 2 in chapter 3, it says, he did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon Mountains from Mount Baal Harmon to Lebo Harmath, they were left to test the Israelites. Again, circle the word to test. Verse 1, to test. Verse 2, to teach. And verse 4, to test. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would underline, obey the Lord's command, which he had given their forefathers through Moses. Okay, I believe I have my co-host in studio with me. Hallelujah.
Can you hear me now, Lord Smith?
Amen. Pastor Crow, you are with me tonight, correct?
Amen. I can hear you very clearly. Can you hear me?
I believe I can, and I believe everybody that's listening tonight can do the same thing. So I was just reading verses 1 through 6 just to kind of set you up for your lead-in. Now, I stopped at verse 4, and I can continue through verse 6 if you'd like me to.
Well, I'll tell you what, go to verse 7, and we'll pick up verse 7. Keep going till you get to 7, either one, and we'll pick up from there.
Sounds good. Okay, for those who are following in their Bible, I'm going to pick up with verse 4. they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their forefathers through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their God. Verse 7, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot. I think that's something that we need to circle, those who are following along in your Bible. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherah. And I'm going to stop right there, Pastor Crow, not unless you want me to read further.
No, that's good. Let's take it from right there, because that's, and I heard you when you started out, you brought out idolatry there, and I think that's the point that we want to, at least that's our first point tonight, in taking a look at this human failure of Israel. And the word that comes up is idolatry. Now, you mentioned the intermarriage and the other things that they encountered because they had disobeyed God. And if we went back to last week, we saw where God had given them instructions to kill everybody, but they didn't do their job. It was an incomplete victory. But the word idolatry, because let's not forget when we, as we look at God and how he dealt with Israel in the Old Testament, we can't get comfortable because, and we ought to thank God for the Holy Spirit for showing us in the Word that he deals with us the same way, because we have the same shortcomings, the same human failures in this flesh as Israel. And Israel had a legacy of disobedience, that word again.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that they have now, in this situation, they had to deal with an idolatrous nation as we speak in this passage. Now, when you start dealing with idolatry, the word that comes to my mind is false worship. False worship had always been forbidden from the start. You go back to Moses' day. Matter of fact, Sister Smith, if you go to Genesis 35:2, and we normally talk about the law first mentioned, that God started out with their forefathers. Now, you mentioned that there was a generation that forgot or did not know God as their ancestors did. But look at 35:2, Genesis 35:2.
And it reads this way, Genesis 35:2. For your note takers, please make note. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments.
Even at that rate. Now, let's go to another one. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11:16. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11:16. What does it say, Sister Smith?
Deuteronomy 11:16. And it reads this way. And it reads, "11:16. Take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them."
Now, when we say other gods, and if someone is taking notes, we know that's the little g. We don't use the big G when we talk about other gods. So here we go again in Deuteronomy. They're reminded again about serving what? Other gods. Now, I like the way Isaiah did it in the 42nd chapter, verse 8. Once again, God, through Isaiah, warns them again about false God. Do you have that, Sister Smith?
Yes, I do. Isaiah 42, verse 8 says this,
yeah.
I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images.
And you know, we got to stop right there, and we got to reiterate, because God is telling us that today. And if we're not careful in this 21st century, we're not careful in these closing days of grace, we'll find ourselves worshiping idol, small g, gods. One of the things that is amazing, and we talk about this, Sister Smith, is technology, mm-hmm. just the fact that we are on the internet radio and how it can travel all around the world. We got to be careful and realize that it's not the person that made the internet, it's not the internet, it's not the technology, but it's what? God.
Amen.
God give us knowledge. He's the one responsible for the internet. He's the one responsible for the program, and we don't ever want to. And nowadays, technology has reached a level unknown. We can land on comets now. We can circle Mars. We can land on technology is at an all-time high. But we must remember not to worship the technology, but we ought to worship God. And God lets us know, just like he lets them know, look here, what did he say? I am the Lord thy God. He said, and I don't give my glory to another. And I just want to caution my brothers and sisters today, don't just think about Israel. We can make our cars our small gods. We can make our foes our small G-O-D God. But I'm going to tell you what I really like, and we'll move on. It's a reason why. And I don't know if I gave you this, Sister Smith, but I really like this. I like Psalms 115. And 4, and you go all the way down to that ninth verse, because we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to take we don't want money to be our God. We don't want our education to be our God. We don't want our husbands to be our God, our wives, or our children. But we don't want the technological devices of this world to be our God. And it's a very good reason why. And I think the psalmist put it in a tremendous way. And let me hold on, Sister Smith, while you read this, because it's speaking to everybody. Just start at that fourth verse and that 115 Psalms, and just this will tell you why. Come on.
It says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them? O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
Lord have mercy. I know that was, Sister Smith, I know that was medicine to somebody here today because, man, look here. We are so, well, wait a minute. Somebody might not agree with me because I know people got different views, but I am so thankful and I am so blessed to have a God that hears my call. I am so thankful that I serve a God that can talk to me. And we learned the other day when we studied Sister Smith that Habakkuk showed us when he said, well, I'll go sit on the wall and just write. God speaks to us through prophecy, and we speak back to God through prayer. And I'm so glad I got a God that hears my every call, talks to me when I need to be talked to through the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about walks with me a long life narrow way. Now, in that seventh verse, if I had time, we look at this term, Sister Smith, as an anthropomorphic term because we take hands and give it to God, even though God is a spirit. But anthropomorphic is when we take hands and images of the mouth and apply it to deity. But I'm so glad that I got a God that will take me by my hand and lead me in the right path. And the psalmist tried to tell him, I don't know about you, I won't want no good. I tell you what, my car can't do that. My house can't do that. The clothes I wear can't talk to me. I serve a God, and what's so amazing about it, and I'm going to have to get off this point right here, is that the same God, Sister Smith, that sits high, the old folks say, on a cushion of love. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. A God that scoops out mountain with the palm of his hand, that scooped out seas with the palm of his hand, that pushed up every mountain and collared them with the cloud. The same God that put the bow wow in the dog, put the neck on the giraffe, that breathed in the man the breath of life. The same God dwells in our heart. We call that the immanence of God. We serve some kind of God. And man, look here. You can't replace him with no idol God.
Amen.
And we live in a society today, man. We got all the conveniences. We got all, man, look here, technology is on the rise. But I will not, and I challenge every believer out there, don't be disobedient and put your faith in man-made objects. Now, if we can trust the pilot to fly us on the plane, you ought to trust the Lord to take you over your problems. I wish I had somebody.
Amen.
If we can trust the bus driver to get us where we're going, I sure wish you'd let God drive your life. If we can go on a cruise and take a cruise and trust the captain of the ship to take us and bring us, we ought to let him be the captain of our salvation.
That's right.
But wait a minute now. When we deal with idols, we're dealing with something that, number one, and I think we dealt with that in 45 and 20. Did you deal with 45 and 20, Sister Smith? Isaiah 45 and 20? I just got three things. 45 and 20, we deal with idols are what? Perishable.
Perishable.
It's a graven image. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It can't move. I can't add no anthropomorphic term to it.
45. Because
it has no feet. It has no hand. It has no mouth to comfort me. So when we let idols call us to be disobedient, we're dealing with something that's perishable. I don't want to deal with something perishable when it comes down to my soul. Look here, Acts 17 and 29, that's a good verse. That's a good verse. But when I go back to that Isaiah 45 and 20, say, they pray to a God that cannot save.
Save.
But wait a minute. get Acts 17 and 29. Because not only is it, I'm talking about idols, perishable, it's unworthy of worship. Read Acts 17 and 29. Sister Smith, 17 and 29.
Acts 17 and 29 reads this way. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God,
offspring.
Offspring uh-huh. of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising.
What's up? No. I like that. We are what? Offsprings of a real and true God that took nothing and made something. Don't make me go into creation now. We serve a true God, not a it, not a thingamajig, not a robot. But we serve, and guess what? He's worthy of our worship.
Amen.
Now wait a minute. Let me just wait one more round. Not only when we deal with idols, we deal with perishable objects. Not only are idols unworthy of worship, but when we worship idols, that's degrading. Go and get Romans 1 and 22. I mean, to worship an idol, that says a lot about your character. That says a lot about your intellect. That says a lot about your education. You might be the smartest person in the world, have PhD, EFG, HIJK running off the end of your car. But you worship an idol, it's degrading. Read Acts 1 and 20, not Acts, Romans 1 and 22.
Romans 1 and 22 says this. 1 and 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools.
Lord, Emmers. You think you got it going on. And once again, God gives us sense. I mean, I thank God for the knowledge. But guess what? He is omniscient. I don't know no man that's omniscient. I know some smart folks. I know some good doctors. I know
right.
some great scientists. But I don't know nobody that's omniscient. God is omniscient. He got what? All power. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. I don't know nobody that can be everywhere at the same time. And then God is omnipotent. He got all power. I just don't know nobody that got what? All power. I know the U.S. is the strongest country in the world, and I thank God for living in it. But guess what? I know somebody that got what? All power. And for me to let my mind be worshiping with a little knowledge, an idol is foolish. Now let me see, can we come out of that? So we see Othniel. Let's take a look. We're going back to the scripture. Now, despite all the warnings in the past that God gave his people, and by them mingling and dwelling with these idolatrous nations, intermarrying and being disobedient to God, we find out that they ended up adopting the gods of their neighbors. And the scriptures say, God in his anger allowed them to be taken captive by the king of Mesopotamia. You can find yourself starting out with just the smoke. And you say, well, I can handle the smoke. And from the smoke go to drink. And from the drink go to drugs. Let me switch that around, because, see, everybody, I have to switch that up, Sister Smith, because, see, everybody don't
yeah.
drink. And then everybody, some people have never done drugs.
Right.
And some people... But now, you start out telling a little bit of lie. We used to call them white lies.
Mm-hmm.
And from a white lie, you start telling the big lies. And next thing you know, you found yourself being captive as a liar. Wish I had somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
You started out just taking things on for fun. You didn't really mean to take, but just for fun, you got away with it. And next thing you know, you found yourself being held captive as a thief. You started out talking about people just on the sly because you were good at cracking and you were good at facking and you just wanted to just do a little talking. But you ended up being a gossiper and held captive. And God allowed you to be what? Held captive to thieving, to robbing, to lying, to stealing. I wish I had somebody here.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
All because of your what? Disobedience. All because you let your environment, you adapted to the environment that you was in. And that's what happened to Israel. But now watch this here. That's human failure. That's human failure. And we talked about that. But what? Our second point on last weekend, we're going to find out through all our scriptures, the people cried out to God. And in his response, he sent the first judge, Othniel. Here come the judge. Boy, I'm telling you, here come the judge. We done got ourselves in a jam. I know somebody out there that can identify with me. Got ourselves into a jam. We started out one way, ended up another way, started out not meaning no harm, but found ourselves being held captive to the wiles of the devil. But thank be to God, here come the judge.
Amen.
And the Bible said that God heard their cry. Boy, if I could sing right now, and I know we don't have enough time, Sister Carnita Smith, that song, and say, I love the Lord, he heard my cry.
Amen.
In every groan. As long as I live and trouble rise, I haste unto his throne. Anybody know that song? But they what? Cry out to God.
Mm.
And God what? Heard their cry. Sister Smith, I just wish I had two or three people to just hit the buzzer and let somebody know that he will hear your cry.
Amen.
Now you can fool me, but you can't fool him. So when you say you cry, look, but wait a minute. Now what? When he sent the judge, watch what happened, Sister Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He frees them from the king of Mesopotamia. And as a result of what? Freeing them, he gave them 40 years of rest.
Rest. Peace.
And guess what? Isn't it a blessing? After 18 years of bondage, God can give you 40 years of rest.
Amen.
I wish I had somebody. Somebody here say, I was strung out ever since I was 10 years old. But God, but the judge came and rescued me. And here, 30 years later, God done kept me clean. Here come the judge. So he took them from bondage to rest. And all we trying to say tonight, Sister Smith, is that guess what? He's still doing the same thing. God has not changed.
That's right.
If you're in bondage tonight, he can give you rest. And that brings us to our second judge, Sister Smith. Read that. 12 through that, I don't want to read all of it. Start at that 12th verse and read about 3-4 verses to bring us up to our second judge.
All right. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel, getting the Amorites and the Amalekites to join him. Eglon came and attacked Israel. And
now,
they,
now hold up right there. Hold up right there.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, human failure. And once again, I know this listening audience, they say, well, there they go again, Israel being, Lord have mercy. But don't point your finger at Israel. Look at yourself.
Amen.
Somebody here, God continued to, with his love and his patience, to continue to rescue you. And you steady, and I know we're in these old vile bodies. I know it's a battle between the flesh. But thank be to God that he will what? Hear our cry. And that brought upon the judge Ehud of the tribe of Benjamin, the son of Gerera. And he what? Freed Israel from the king of Moab, Eglon. But now there's something special in here. Because now our first word, Sister Smith, was idolatry. Now our
yes.
second word is initiative. Now, we know
correct.
Ehud freed them from the king of Moab, Eglon. But there's something that you got to see in this. This is the initiative. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us what? The initiative. Now, when you read that story, you got to understand how that Ehud was able, by the help of God, and it's 3 points. It's 3 points I want to make that I hope you can see. God gave him the initiative because the Spirit of the Lord was what upon him to get close to Eglon. Oh, you got to read that. You got to read that. And there's three things that initiative, when you allow the Holy Spirit to take the initiative in your life and let him what? Lead you and guide you. He was able to put Eglon to death. Now watch this, Sister Smith. If you know that I didn't say he murdered Eglon.
No.
And I didn't say he assassinated Eglon.
No.
But he, by the help of God, executed the judgment of God. He executed the judgment of God. He didn't murder him. Now, you can say he murdered him, but we won't look at this from a spiritual perspective. He didn't assassinate him. That's a worldly term. But he brought God through Ehud executed the judgment of God.
Nah.
And I guess the lesson tonight, Sister Smith, is that we are let the Holy Spirit execute the initiative in us. Some
yeah.
of us could be some great soul winners. Some of us can be some great witnesses. Some of us could be some great preachers. Some of us could be some great singers. Some of us could even be some great healers. But we won't let the Holy Spirit exercise his initiative in us. And you can't be freed. Thank be to God, if you allow God's Spirit to what? Give him what? The initiative. Now, it was something about Ehud. He was that kind of a person. He had that kind of swagger about himself. He was able to mix with the kings and the queens. He didn't look, according to where he didn't look like no anything. Is that right, Sister Smith? He had the kind of personality that he could mingle with the top dog. And guess what? God used all of that to get him what? Close to Eglon so that he could what? Execute God's judgment.
Right.
Now watch this here. Through allowing God's Spirit upon him to execute his judgment, God gave him access to the king. Now it wasn't him. It wasn't the way he carried himself. God gave him what? Access. And my point being, man, somebody in the radio listening all the man, you can go where I can't go. You know some people that need saving, and God put you right in the middle of them. But you're so scared, you won't let the Holy Spirit have his way, and you can't save nobody because you're scared. But if you let the Holy Spirit, when he gives you access to the drug dealer, when he gives you access to the, Lord have mercy, to the thief, when he gives you access to the backbiter, when he gives you access to the homemonger, when he gives you access and you let him, he can save somebody. You can execute his judgment. Initiative. But you won't let the what? Initiative of the Holy Spirit take control of your life. Look here, and watch the third thing. After all what he did, he gave him what? Access.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not only did he even give him access, God predestined him to be alone with the king. Oh, that mercy.
That's right.
Got to read that story, because if you read the story, you find out that all the help and all the servants left. Is that right? And when all the servants left, he closed the door, and he was what? Alone.
Alone.
With Eglon.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And he told Eglon, he said, I got a message from you, from God.
Let me read that for the sake of those who may not have their Bibles. And I'm going to take it up. I'm going to read from verse 19. I think I'll start at 20. He had then approached him while he was sitting alone in the upper room of his summer palace and said, I have a message from God for you. As the king rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. Even the hand sank in after the blade, which
Wait a minute, Sister Smith, and I want you to finish that, but I can't pass this up. I can't pass this up, Sister Smith, and I want you to finish reading that, because we got to deal with his escape. But go to Psalms 80 and 17, because we can't miss this point, and then get Psalms 44 and 3, because we can't miss it up, because EU was, what, left-handed. Is that right?
That's right.
But
that's
he
right.
Killed him with his right hand. And all I'm trying to tell you that it wasn't his hand, it was God's hand. Lord have mercy.
Psalms 80:14 or Psalms 80:17?
17.
17 reads this way. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself.
Lord, come on. 44 and 3
reads this way. It says in Psalms 44, verse 3, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. Psalms 44:3. So I see where it says, Pastor Crow, I see where you're going with that, because although he was a left-handed man, as it reads, in the verses prior, that he was left-handed. And why they put that in Scripture, I'm not sure, but I see what it says. He was left-handed in verse 15. Again, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer. He was a left-handed man.
Yeah.
the son of Gera, the Benjamite. And they put that in scripture for a reason, a left-handed man. But as you made mention, and as it says in scripture in verse 21, Ehud reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly.
But see, we got to go back to Zechariah and say, not by your might, but by what? God might. It was God. It's something about the right hand of God. That's all I'm trying to say, Sister. And you can look it up all the way through the Bible. It's something about that power in the right hand. Go ahead and finish reading, Sister Smith. I don't want to get caught up right there.
And it says in verse 22, even the handle sank in after the blade, which came out his back. Ehud did not pull the sword out, and the fat closed in over it. Then Ehud went out to the porch. He shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. Verse 24. After he had gone, the servants came and found the doors of the upper room locked. They said he must be relieving himself in the inner room of the house. They waited to the point of embarrassment. But when he did not open the door of the room, they took a key and unlocked them. There they saw their Lord fallen to the floor dead.
Now, wait a minute, Sister Smith. Now, when they read that, Ehud then went back and told the armies, y'all, come on, let's go get them now. He already, the Holy Spirit, God had already took the king out with his right hand.
Yeah.
And allowed Ehud to what? Escape.
Yes.
And when you read that, Ehud go back and get the army together, and they come back and defeat the king's army. Mm. And all because he let the Holy Spirit give him the initiative.
Amen.
To follow what God say. Now, let me say this right quick, because I know time running out. Somebody, I'm so glad that over in Isaiah, when the word came out, you got that scripture already read. It said, who shall go for me? Read that scripture.
Isaiah 45 and 20.
Uh-huh. I want to see the initiative.
Isaiah 45 and 20 reads this way. Assemble yourselves.
No, that's not the one. I want the one at the beginning of Isaiah when they say, who shall we send?
Ah.
Hello?
That one. Yes, uh-huh. Who shall we send? I'm getting it.
God, Lord have mercy. Who shall we send? I'm talking about the initiative. I'm talking about God needs some warriors, needs some soldiers, needs some servants that will let the Holy Spirit take the what? Initiative against the enemy. Lord have mercy. It's not you. It's not me. But it's him. But Ehud took the initiative that the Spirit gave him to get close to the king, to take the king out and get away. And when he got away, he brought the army back, and they what? Defeated the army, and guess what? The land was rested for 80 years. But he took the initiative. Not only did he take the initiative, when Isaiah, over in that first chapter, when he was in the temple, he said, "Who shall we send?" Who Isaiah say, "Here I am. Send me." And I just wonder today if somebody willing to go. I mean, who out there in Radio Land? Who out there is willing to do and let the Holy Spirit give us the initiative to say, to let him what? Witness to somebody, save somebody, preach his word, sing praises to his name. You got
Isaiah 6:8. I've got it for you. "As I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me." Isaiah 6:8.
Let me close this out right quick, because Sister Smith, being a preacher, I'd close right about here and go to the cross, because when Adam fell in the garden and we needed somebody to redeem us back, the old folks say that Jesus say, "Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and took on the form of a servant, and came down."
Amen.
Before, after my Jesus took the what? Initiative. And came down through 42 generations, born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And guess what? He took the initiative to what? Die for our sins. Now, here's the last one. Here's the last, Judge Shamgar. Is that right?
That's correct.
Now, we dealt with what? Idolatry. You still there? We dealt with idolatry. We dealt with initiative. Now we deal with involvement. Read that first couple of verses, Sister Smith.
In involvement.
Judges
3. It reads this way. "After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad, he too saved Israel."
Now, wait a minute. Stop right there. Now, we really, when you study about Shamgar, it's nothing known about his origin other than he was the son of Ashdod. And many scholars write that it's possible that he was not even an Israelite. He was. But he became personally involved with the deliverers of Israel. And it tells that he became so involved that he took an ox guard and killed 600 Philistines. Involved. And that tells us, man, you got to be careful how you treat people. Everybody might not go to your church. It's some folks you see standing on the corner. They might not have heard the word. They might not have received God as their personal Savior. They might, but guess what? They could get involved with the uplifting of the kingdom. He wasn't, we don't know for sure if he was a Hebrew or not, but he became what? Involved in the deliverance of Israel. Guess what? You got some people that just wait. If you take the initiative, they'll become what? Involved. And let me get this closing point, because I know we're running out of time, Sister Smith.
No, we got
If
we
I
got,
use a rough, I use Cyrus, a Gentile.
All right.
Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, and you go to that, 36th chapter, that 32nd verse. God used a Gentile king of Persia to take Israel out of bondage from Babylon. He didn't use Matthew, he didn't use Mark, he didn't use no prophet. He used a Gentile king. And I'll allow about to say, Sister Smith, he can use anybody he want to use. And Cyrus became what? Involved. In Israel, what? Read that. And I'll let you take over, Sister Smith.
2 Chronicles 36, verse 22 or verse 23.
32.
Now in the verse 22. Now in the first and 23 or 22.
Now 36 and 32.
36 and
32?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's Cyrus 36 and 22.
Read that.
Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord is God. The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up.
Involvement. You got it, Sister Smith. We'll take up next week, chapter 4 and 5, but idolatry, initiative, involvement. God bless you.
Amen. And I tell you, Pastor Crow, those hot points were so beautiful in revealing to us how the Israelites continuously relapsed back into their old ways of doing things and serving idol gods made of wood and stone and things that didn't have ears to hear. And I like the way you brought that out. But in contrast to with what they were doing, serving other gods with and being in an environment that caused them to be out of God's order, and then they intermarried with these people and served their gods. Even in the midst of our life, we can fall prey to that as well, and we can possess that, what I like to call, or what we call, bad fruit. And for those who are believers in Christ Jesus, if you are born again, you should know what those fruit are, that fleshly fruit, that bad fruit, that fruit that causes you to be in the world and of the world. And we are to be in the world, but we are set apart from the world. And I like the way it says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. So if you could make note of this, this is what it says. And I'm just going to read this in a translation that makes clear sense in the New Living Translation. And it says, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, and the anger of God is coming. Judgment. Here comes the judge, Pastor Crow. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, called being in the world and of the world, Pastor Crow. But now is the time, not tomorrow. Now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Now is the time. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. That's Colossians 3, verses 5 through 9. And Galatians puts it this way: when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Idolatry. Going back to those old behaviors. But the contrast to this is in Galatians 5:22-24. And I know we're just going to take a little extra time because this is good, good for the soul. Galatians chapter 5:22-24 puts it this way: but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's lead. Now, that goes to initiative. Let us follow the Spirit's lead in every part of our lives. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Let us not become conceited or provoked one another, or be jealous of one another. And this is Galatians chapter 5, 22-24. The Holy Spirit we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit and allow him to lead us to take the initiative to be available. That goes with the involvement. We are to be available. And I like the what it says concerning being a servant, having a servant's heart, being an instrument of God, available to him. And this is what he's called us to do in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. It reads this way: the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So what does that tell us? We need to be praying for one another, that we will get up off our couch, get out of that lazy boy chair, and do something and go and get involved. Take the initiative. Get involved. The Holy Spirit perks our interest, and he prompts us to get involved, to be a servant. Jesus came not to be served, but he came to serve. And that is just something that really resonated in my heart, Pastor Crow, with these hot points that you brought out in this lesson: idolatry, initiative, and involvement.
Yeah,
it's
praise
so,
the Lord.
It's so easy to follow the ways of the flesh. That comes easy for us. But when we are spirit-filled, we should be looking at joy, peace, self-control, faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit that pleases God. And then we should get involved and be a servant because there's so much work out there to do. For the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few.
Praise the Lord.
Pray for the body. For those who are listening, pray for the body of Christ, that we not become complacent, that we not sit soaking sour, that we get up and go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell somebody of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for the sins of the world, redeemed us all. But let whosoever will, let them come.
Praise the Lord.
And have the free gift of life. And I just want to say thank you, Pastor Crow. I tell you, this has been a blessing to me. And for those of you who are listening, please go back and refresh yourself with Series 1. And again, if you missed anything tonight or if you just couldn't write fast enough, go back. Thank God for the Internet, for us to be able to go back to the archives of these lessons and revisit them, that they would be food for the soul, that the spiritual growth will take root, and that you can be fruitful branches from the true vine. And this is what Mission from the Heart is about, that we expose, expound, and we extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to thank my co-host again, Pastor Michael Crow with Barbers Memorial Missionary Baptist Church here in Houston, Texas, right in Third Ward, and for him to just being a faithful servant led by the Holy Spirit to reveal these beautiful nuggets to us for food for the soul. So
we want to thank you also, Sister Smith, for allowing the God in you, for allowing the God in us to just have opportunity to let the Holy Spirit be the preacher and the teacher. And we pray that someone will be helped. And we thank you for taking the initiative to let the Holy Spirit use you from heart to heart to get the word out. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. Well, if Pastor Cope, you don't mind, if you would, let's close out this series in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we come right now once again saying thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And above all, thank you for the true judge, Jesus Christ, that died in our place on Calvary's Hill. Thank you for showing us in your word that be careful of idolatry. Let the Holy Spirit take the initiative. And when the Holy Spirit take the initiative, we'll become involved. Thank you now. Bless this program. Bless your hosts. And we pray that when it's all being said, that you get the glory. Maybe there's somebody that don't know you in the pardoning of their sin will come to know who you are. Thank you now. Bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Sister Smith.
Praise the Lord. And always remember, the grass wither, the flowers fade away, but the word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you, and thank you for your faithfulness to the program. We'll meet you here again on next Thursday as we continue to move through the book of Judges in a series, Here Comes the Judge. Good night.